This is Audible.
A long time ago, in a galaxy far, far away. Random House Audio presents Star Wars, Empire and Rebellion, Razor's Edge, by Martha Wells. Read for you by January Lavoie. Chapter 1. Leia Organa had a bad feeling about this. "At least their timing is spot on," she said, watching the transmission download on the comm screen. She and General Willard were on the Gamble's small bridge, where Captain Denlin and Lieutenant Ezray occupied the pilot's and co-pilot's seats. They had just exited hyperspace, the starfield steadying in the viewport as the ship slowed to sublight speed. Captain Denlin said,
"If we'd been a little later taking off, or if our hyperdrive hadn't been tuned just right, we would have missed it."
"Well, we didn't," Leia said, more sharply than she had intended. If only the Rebel Alliance could have afforded to equip all its ships with the comm equipment necessary to receive hyperwave transmissions, this vulnerable moment could have been avoided. Still, so far, the mission had gone as planned. There was no reason she should be on edge like this. But she was. At least, she told herself, they wouldn't have to wait around for long.
"I'm just glad Fleet Command got the time conversion right," Ezray said, her hands making quick adjustments to the control board. "That would have been embarrassing."
"Embarrassing is one word for it," General Willard commented.
He was standing next to Leia's comm station, his attention on the percentage complete bar on the download screen. He was a tall, spare human with short, graying hair, and Leia knew him well enough to see that he was uneasy as well.
"Princess?"
"We have it." Leia turned her chair around to face the computer console and checked the log to make certain the entire message had been recorded. It had. Now, they just needed to decode the transmitted coordinates and program the jump to the meeting where they were to negotiate the purchase of raw materials for the construction of Echo Base, the new secret headquarters of the Rebel Alliance. With the base so near to completion, the last couple of months hadn't been easy. So many things had gone wrong, and the Alliance was dangerously short on resources. Leia would allow herself to breathe a little easier only when this mission was over and the materials secured.
"We're done here," she said. "Captain, wait."
Ezray's voice was sharp.
"I've got a sensor contact. It's pretty far out, but..."
So much for breathing easier. Every nerve in Leia's body told her something had just gone terribly wrong. They were in the mid-rim, at the farthest edge of an uninhabited system called Eschaton. With nothing more than a scatter of cold, barren planets and one glowing ball of a striped, blue gas giant, the system should have drawn little to no traffic. There was no reason for any other ships to be here. She snapped, "Take us into hyperspace! Now!" She started to turn her seat forward. Then, something hit her from behind and slammed her into the console. The safety straps ground painfully into her chest. Her ears rang, and her eyes watered. Heat washed against her neck. A heartbeat later, she realized it had been a blast impact. She twisted around to see Denlin and Ezray slumped over their consoles. The controls sparked with stray energy. The metal blackened with the force of the blast, and smoke streamed into the air. Leia fumbled for the straps with numb fingers, opened the buckles, and pushed to her feet. She took a step forward and fell to her knees. She landed next to General Willard, who had been thrown into the base of the comp console. She said his name aloud, but couldn't hear her own voice. Her ears still rang with the ship's alarm klaxons, strangely distant. The general's face was bloody and his eyes were closed,
but as she put her hand on his chest, she felt him breathe. She gasped in relief, then grabbed her chair and pulled herself upright again. Through the viewport, all she saw was a wheeling starfield. The ship was in an uncontrolled tumble. Every readout on the bridge was either redlined, blinking in an emergency setting, or blank. She stumbled to the pilot's seat and gripped Denlin's shoulder. She started to pull him up off the sparking console and then froze, her stomach twisting. The control panel directly in front of him had exploded and blown a hole in his chest. Gritting her teeth, she let him go and turned to Ezray, who was slumped over sideways. Leia felt for a pulse at the lieutenant's throat, and her hand came away slick with blood. Dreading what she would see, she lifted Ezray's hair aside. There was shrapnel embedded in her temple. Ezray's dark eyes were open, but fixed. Dead. Leia squeezed her own eyes shut, willing her stomach not to turn. Then the deck thumped and shuddered under her, and she grabbed the back of the co-pilot's seat. They were still taking fire. She looked for the sensor screen to get some idea of where their attacker was. One of her ears popped, and the din of klaxons grew louder. But one alarm was close at hand and particularly insistent. It came from one of the few functioning readouts on the command panel and showed a rapidly dropping percentage. "Bridge containment shield failing," Leia read, and her gaze went to the viewport. There was a deep, ragged crack in the lower quarter. Leia swore and lunged across the bridge. She hit the release on the hatch and leaned down to grab Willard. The only reason she wasn't breathing vacuum right now was that the containment shield had automatically covered the port when it detected the breach. She didn't know how long until it failed, but the alarm suggested that could happen at any moment. She pulled Willard into a sitting position, and then realized the hatch wasn't open. She stood and hit the release again. No response. "Oh, you have to be joking!" Leia snarled, and popped open the plate for the manual release. The containment shield warning screamed in her ears as she pulled the lever for the manual override. She felt the hatch's locking mechanism click, but it still didn't slide open. She dug her fingers between the seals, braced a boot against the comp console, and put all her strength into dragging the doors open. Slowly, the hatch moved until she had just enough clearance to force her shoulders through. From the increasingly frantic shrieks of the containment alarm, she didn't have time for any more. She leaned down, clutched the back of the general's jacket, and started to pull his unconscious body through the opening. Right at the point where she thought she was going to get both of them stuck and they were going to not only die, but die in an extremely undignified position, she heard bootsteps pound toward her from the corridor. "Here!" Leia yelled, her voice sounding harsh and desperate to her own ears. A crew member appeared in the compartment door, took in the situation, and lunged forward. She grabbed General Willard under the arms and threw her weight backward. Leia lifted his legs and squeezed through and out of the bridge, then pointed toward the compartment blast door. "Hurry! The hatch won't seal! No time!" She knew her words were coming out incoherent, but the woman understood her. Together, they dragged the general across the compartment and out into the corridor. As soon as they were clear, Leia dropped his legs and flung herself on the door control to hit the emergency seal. It slid shut just as the containment alarm shrieked one last time, then abruptly went silent. Leia felt a rumble and a thump through the metal as the bridge's port gave way. Breathing hard, the woman asked, "The captain and Ezray are dead?" She was a tall human, with dark brown skin and braided dark hair pulled tightly back. She would have been lovely except for the haggard worry in her expression. Her nose was bleeding, and the skin around her eyes was bruised, as if she'd had a face-first encounter with a console or a bulkhead. Leia nodded. "When the first blast hit..." The deck rumbled under her feet, a vibration from a near-miss blast impact. They needed to get the ship away. There was a comm panel near the hatch, and she pushed the all-ship alert. "Han Solo! Han, can you hear me?"
At first, the only reply was the rumble of the firefight. Then another comm answered. She heard yelling in the background, and a voice said,
"He's operating the guns with Barani, Your Highness! Are you all right? The bulkhead doors to the upper deck are down! We can't get to you!"
That was all Leia needed. The pilot most experienced at this sort of desperate situation locked out of the control deck. "The bridge is depressurized. I'm going to engage auxiliary control and take the ship into hyperspace. Just try to hold them off a little longer." She had no idea who they even were, though it was safe to assume it was an Imperial ship. She didn't want to admit over the open comm that she hadn't even gotten a glimpse of their attacker yet.
"Yes, Your Highness,"
the voice said, and Leia heard him yell,
"She said to keep shooting!"
before the comm switched into standby. "We need to get to auxiliary control." Leia hesitated, looking down at Willard's inert body. He was breathing, and there was nothing she could do for him until the ship was out of danger. She started down the corridor, the other woman following. Leia wanted to run, but the deck rolled underfoot, a sign that the grav controls were beginning to fail. She looked at her companion.
You...
The woman wasn't wearing any insignia. Because of the mission, no one aboard was wearing anything that might identify them as Rebel Alliance, and most were dressed in plain fatigues or as civilian spacers. But Leia vaguely remembered seeing her in the Independence's fighter bay. "You're a pilot? Can you fly this ship?"
"I'm an X-wing pilot. I've flown slow cargo transports, air speeders, but I'll try."
That was all Leia could ask for at the moment. The Gamble was a small converted freighter with a crew of 20, no fighters, but far more quad lasers than its size and cargo space warranted. The conversion and installation of the extra armament had left the ship's corridors narrow and the layout a maze. Ezra had said the controls were as jury-rigged and altered as the rest of the ship, and Leia's vision was starting to blur.
"I'm sorry, I don't remember your name."
The deck pitched and threw them both into the bulkhead. The other woman took hold of Leia's arm and, pushing off with her free hand against the wall, towed her down the corridor.
"I'm Cian Tassar. I was down in engineering when you came aboard."
"Oh, good. I always try to meet the entire crew so I don't have to ask someone if she's a pilot while we're in the middle of a firefight."
Leia was dizzy, and her head was pounding. They reached the shaft that led to the auxiliary control, and the gravity held on just long enough for them to climb down and into the little cabin. There was no viewport, just a screen for the sensor data. It was blank, hopefully only because the controls were powered down. Punching in the command override to transfer control from what was left of the bridge, Leia held her breath. If this didn't work, they were dead. Everything seemed to hesitate. Then readouts started to light up, and she breathed in relief. Cian dragged herself into the pilot's seat and hit the master to power up the boards. She winced as the screens came to life.
"Our deflector shields are down, and we've got turbo laser fire incoming. I can't see what's shooting at us."
Leia wrestled herself into the second chair and fastened the straps. If it was anything close to the size of a cruiser, this would be over by now. She powered up the navicomputer and was relieved to see that the hyperdrive was still there, at least for the moment. But capacity was down nearly 50%, she realized, checking the diagnostics screen.
That's a problem.
The blast that had sent such deadly energy through the bridge controls must have gone through the engine systems too, meaning the Gamble couldn't jump directly back to the fleet. She also couldn't program a jump to the conference location because the coordinates hadn't been decoded yet. As Cian coaxed the sublight engines back online, Leia had the nav system check for valid coordinates nearby. They could look for a port later. Right now, they just needed to get away. She glanced at the screen just as the sensors caught an image of their attacker.
"It's a light corvette," she told Cian.
Which meant the Imperials hadn't known about this mission for long. If they had had the time, they would have sent something much bigger. Cian swore and pushed the control yoke forward. "If they get us in their tractor beam, they could board us." "Then don't let them get us in their tractor beam," Leia said, making her voice cool despite the pounding of her heart. Cian flashed her a sudden grin, proving Leia's estimation of her correct. Can do. As Cian turned their uncontrolled tumble into a deliberate spiral, Leia adjusted what was left of the shield to compensate for the failed sections and directed more sensor data to the screen. She had to fumble for controls that weren't where she expected them to be. Fortunately, Cian was a quicker study and seemed to adjust rapidly to the layout of the console. The ship shuddered again at a near miss. On the weapons screen, Leia could see the Gamble's turbo laser still returning fire. Cian put the ship through an evasive maneuver that made all the failing systems redline. She flew the converted heavy freighter like an X-Wing, a strategy that Leia highly approved of, even though it was probably the only way Cian knew to fly. Then suddenly, the ship swung out of the Corvette's kill zone and into a clear starfield. Come on! Come on! Leia muttered, glancing at the navicomputer. The alert pinged as it finally fixed on a set of coordinates. She confirmed them and configured the jump, narrowing her eyes in concentration, trying to think past the aching pain in her head and make sure she didn't tell the computer to drop them into a star. We're going into hyperspace, she said, and slid the control levers down. Leia felt the engines stutter. Then sudden power surged through the ship, and the starfield blurred into streaks of light. The readouts jumped between red line and normal, then finally settled on a range Leia interpreted as not great, but not likely to explode anytime soon. She slumped back and put her pounding skull gently against the worn headrest. That was the kind of excitement she could have lived without. Cian let out a long breath. We made it. She glanced at Leia. Sort of. Yes. Sort of. Leia agreed grimly. While Cian went to see if she could get the blocked blast doors open to the lower decks, Leia took a moment to find a data card in the supply case in the auxiliary control locker. She checked the navicomputer and saw it had the transmission, copied over from the main console in the bridge when she had transferred control here. She saved the transmission to the data card, and then deleted the original from the system. The comm was starting to buzz with reports of wounded. The Gamble had a small medical unit and a medic, whom Leia hoped could handle the injuries until they could get to a safe facility with a medical droid. And she needed to find out who had told the Imperials where the Gamble would be coming out of hyperspace. It was tempting to think that the intel could have come from somewhere in Kernsaw DeVeet's organization. He was the Alliance agent who had arranged the meeting with the traders with whom she was to negotiate. But Leia knew the leak was far more likely to have come from someone in the Rebel Alliance's chain of communication. She rubbed her eyes wearily. This could be a terrible setback to their plans for Echo Base. The screen signaled that the transmission had been transferred to the data card and deleted from the nav system. She popped the card out of the slot and slipped it into her vest pocket. She would still need to decode it, but at least the transmission was safe. Even if the Imperial Corvette had intercepted it, only Leia and General Willard had the decoding key. So it's just as safe as we are, Leia thought, appreciating the irony. With a groan, she unstrapped herself and started to climb back up the shaft to the bridge deck. The gravity returned when she was in mid-climb, slamming her against the wall before the compensators in the shaft adjusted. That's great, she told the compensators and the universe in general. Thank you so much. She climbed out of the shaft just as Han bolted around the corner. Cian must have gotten the blast doors open to the lower part of the ship. Good, Leia said. I need help with General Willard. He's hurt.
Leia.
Han caught her shoulders. He didn't look injured, except for a developing bruise on his forehead and some smudges and burn marks on the sleeve of his white shirt that must have come from proximity to an explosion.
Can you hear me?
Leia glared up at him. Yes, obviously. Han touched the right side of her face and held up his hand. It was covered with blood.
You're bleeding.
Oh, no, it's... She stepped back and pressed a hand to her ear. No wonder Han thought she was hurt. The blood was all down her cheek, in her braids. It must have been sprayed across the bridge cabin when Denlin and Ezray had been hit. That's from Captain Denlin, or Lieutenant Ezray. They're both dead. Leia turned away and started down the corridor, almost swaying into the bulkhead. She couldn't stop moving now. If she did, she was afraid she wouldn't be able to start again. General Willard still lay in the corridor where she and Cian had left him. Leia knelt beside him, overbalanced when her head swam at just the wrong moment, but managed not to fall on him. He was still breathing, and when she carefully felt his skull, she found blood and a lump, but nothing more alarming. She looked around, realizing she had misplaced Han at some point, but he arrived a moment later with a medkit. He knelt on Willard's other side, tearing the kit open.
"You look like hell, Princess."
"I know that. Thank you." Leia reached for the diagnostics scanner, and Han handed her a cold pack instead. Maybe that was best. The small readout on the scanner just looked like a green blur to her at the moment. She put the pack against the lump on the general's temple, and was relieved when he stirred a little and murmured something. She said,
"That's a good sign."
"Here."
Han was trying to hand her another cold pack. "I don't know where else he's hurt yet," Leia said, exasperated.
"It's for you."
When she stared at him, Han said slowly and clearly,
"Put it on your head."
"Oh." Leia pressed it against the side of her face and winced in relief. The chill revived her a little, the darkness that hovered at the edges of her vision receding as the vertigo faded. Which was a good thing, because Cian and Jarell, General Willard's aide, were hurrying down the corridor toward her.
"Your Highness," Jarell said, sounding horrified. "The General?"
"He's alive," Leia told him. "He was knocked out when the first blast hit. Who is the ranking officer on board?" Jarell was a slim, pale human, another Alderaan survivor, and he looked very young at the moment. Uneasily, as if all too conscious of giving bad news, he said,
"You are, Your Highness."
"Right.
That's what I was afraid of,"
Leia thought grimly. Han aimed the diagnostics scanner at her, then frowned at the results. Leia pretended to ignore him. She was fairly certain she had a concussion, but she didn't have time for it just now. "I need a status report on the damage and the wounded. Are all the crew accounted for?" Still watching her worriedly, Jarell said,
"Yes, Your Highness. There's 7 wounded, including General Willard. Mostly burns from when a panel in the engineering compartment and a laser cannon operating console exploded."
He glanced at the sealed door to the bridge compartment again and swallowed hard.
"Captain Denlin and Lieutenant Ezray are the only dead."
That was almost half the crew injured. Leia needed to see the medic and find out exactly how bad it was. Minor burns and breaks could be dealt with on board, but if they needed to get to a medical facility, finding one that wasn't under Imperial control could be...
"Should I prepare a transmission to the Independence?" Jarell said.
"I'll do that." Leia made herself focus on the here and now. She hoped it hadn't looked as if she had zoned out for a moment there. "Someone told the Imperials where we were coming out of hyperspace. I'm not convinced it wasn't someone in the fleet."
"An Imperial agent?" Cian asked.
Jarell frowned, startled and apparently offended.
"There can't be. Our security is too thorough."
"Yeah, I've heard that before,"
Han put in. Leia would have rolled her eyes, but her head hurt too much. Jarell was one of the officers in charge of secure communications, and Han knew it.
"It's far more likely to be someone involved with this merchant DeVeet."
Jarell glared at Han.
"Maybe you're more used to civilian traitors and criminals who don't have any loyalty."
Han started to reply, but Leia interrupted with, "Jarell, if you have to make that kind of slight, don't do it in front of me.
Han, you know exactly what you're doing. Please stop."
"Cian?"
"I didn't say anything, Your Highness," Cian said.
Leia extended her hand.
"You can help me up."
As Cian hauled her to her feet, Leia added,
You're on watch in auxiliary control until I can find someone to help you. And be sure you take care of your nose.
Take care of my...
Cian touched her nose and winced.
Right.
Commander DeGoran leaned back in his seat, his jaw so tight with suppressed anger it made his teeth ache. The Rebel ship had vanished into hyperspace, a dissipating ion trail, the only trace left behind. He had never cared for commanders who raged or threw ranting fits, so he just made himself say flatly,
"That's unfortunate."
The crew at the bridge consoles didn't cringe outwardly, but he could read the tension in the set of their shoulders. They knew as well as he did that if DeGoran had to report to his superiors that he had lost this chance, a quick execution was the best they could hope for. The worst was a long, slow execution, in the form of a transfer to a post on whatever hellhole the Empire currently sent its disposable personnel to. Sorvir, his second in command, said,
"If we'd had more time to prepare..."
DeGoran cut him off.
"Yes, because excuses always impress Lord Vader."
Even when the excuses were true. The Imperial agent hadn't been able to get a transmission out until it was almost too late, and theirs had been the only ship within range. They hadn't even had time to summon the surveillance ship they worked with in this sector. It was several systems away at this point, acting as a decoy for a smuggling operation they had been on the point of breaking up before they had received these emergency orders. He shook his head.
"All we can do is wait for another contact."
From what DeGoran understood, the agent had been in deep cover for a long time, waiting for the right opportunity. The fact that DeGoran's customs corvette had been the closest Imperial ship able to respond was both a blessing and a curse. If DeGoran succeeded, the reward would be unimaginable. Advancement in the Empire had been something he had always wanted, but that had always seemed just out of reach. But if he failed to capture Princess Leia Organa, the punishment would also be unimaginable. He didn't intend to fail. Chapter 2. With a fresh cold pack pressed to her head, Leia tried to sort out the disaster that was currently the gamble. After calling Sorrel, the chief engineer, on the comm, and getting a status report that amounted to,
"It's really bad, but I don't think the ship is going to blow up,"
she asked Han to go down to engineering to help out. According to Sorrel, an energy pulse from one of the first blast impacts had traveled through the ship's drivetrain, causing two consoles to explode in engineering and damaging one of the laser cannons. It sounded like the uninjured personnel needed all the help they could get to keep the hyperdrive online long enough for the ship to get where it was going, and to make what repairs they could to the sublight engines and other systems. Once the medic, Sarret, appeared with a portable stretcher on a repulsor unit, Leia went with him to take General Willard below. They settled the general in a cabin near the medical cubby, where the crew member who had been pressed into service as Sarret's assistant was handing out bacta patches for burns and medication for minor concussions. Willard was still too groggy to really seem to know what was happening, though he woke enough to squeeze Leia's hand when she spoke to him. The general taken care of, Sarret told her,
"All the other injuries reported so far are treatable with what I have here, mostly burns and some contusions."
He was an Andulian, with gray skin, long white hair, white furry brows, and atrophied gills in his cheeks that gave him what on a human would have been drooping jowls. To Leia, the jowls made him look old and reassuringly knowledgeable. But after talking to him for a short time, she realized he was young, maybe even younger than she was, and unnerved by the whole situation. He peered at her uncertainly.
Your head?
Leia lowered the cold pack and saw that it was bloodstained. "It's someone else's blood," she said. To his credit,
Sarit just made a sympathetic noise and handed her a packet of antiseptic cleaning pads. Leia went to the tiny refresher attached to the cabin and scrubbed until the blood was out of her hair. It didn't do her headache any good, but it was a relief to get the blood off. Then she found a command console in a small compartment that had once been an office for a cargo agent. She put the data card into the slot, displayed the recording on the screen, and entered the decoding algorithms. After a moment, she could read the transmission. There were the coordinates and a short note explaining that the destination was a commercial space platform called Arnott Station. Kernsaw DeVeet would be waiting for them there. The message also included a warning that the station was deep in pirate territory, which was annoying but hardly surprising. Pirates weren't uncommon in sectors where the Empire's attempts to consolidate its power or root out rebels had left local governments in disarray. DeVeet, the Alliance agent, was a distant acquaintance of Han's, apparently met years earlier during a stint of work in the Corporate Sector Authority. Leia assumed that by work, Han meant smuggling and other criminal activity, but she hadn't tried to find out. One thing she had learned in the 2 years since the Battle of Yavin was that knowing too much about Han and Chewbacca's non-Alliance-related business, past and present, just made her left eyelid twitch. Frowning thoughtfully, Leia accessed the nav data. Once they came out of hyperspace, Arnott Station would be only another short jump away. She was pleased to see there were other commercial stations within reach, and at least two fairly large trading ports. The existence of other nearby ports would make their destination less obvious if the light corvette was still out there searching for them. And she had no reason to think it wasn't. Leia tapped her nails on the console. If she was right that the intel that had brought the Imperial light corvette down on them had come from the Alliance fleet or its communication chain, it didn't matter. She still had to see DeVeet. They couldn't give up this chance to get the materials for Echo Base. The next thing Leia needed to do was find help for Cian up in auxiliary control. Looking over the crew roster, Leia noticed they had a young combat transport pilot by the name of Eilen aboard, who had logged shifts flying the Gamble in the past. She flushed him out from under a console in the engineering bay and sent him up to take over for Cian.
"That's all right,"
Chief Engineer Sorrel told her when she informed him of the change in assignment.
"He's good with weapons systems, but he doesn't know much about working on hyperdrives. There's also Barani, the young Mon Calamari. He's got freighter piloting experience. I'll send him up, too."
"Good." Distracted, Leia looked down the bay, where every access hatch seemed to be open and every console half taken apart. The whole place still smelled like it was on fire, and smoke drifted in the air. Not far away, an older woman with a torn tunic and pressure bandages wrapped around her shoulder and collarbone carefully adjusted the settings on a console, then shouted down into the open access hatch at her feet.
"How about now?"
Fluctuating light reflected up from the hatch, and the answer was an incomprehensible grumble. Cautiously, Leia asked, "What exactly is our situation?" She found herself wincing in anticipation of the answer. Sorrel wiped at the sweat on his forehead.
Did we find a safe port yet? I think we've got one more short jump in us."
"That's my priority right now. Do you think we can manage this?" She showed him the relative position of Arnott Station. Sorrel's expression cleared.
"We could do that."
Leia made her way through the bay until she found Han. He was on the floor and hanging halfway down into an access hatch, using a sensor to check various components in the coolant systems and swearing a lot at the results. She crouched beside him. "How is it going?" Han rolled over and propped himself up on a cross brace.
"How does it look?"
"Terrible," Leia admitted, keeping her voice low.
"Good guess, your worship."
"Oh, good. He's calling me that again," Leia thought sourly. She knew better than to react to it by now. Her friendship with Han had been somewhat more fraught than the easy camaraderie she had with Luke Skywalker. Leia knew Han still had mixed feelings about working with the Rebel Alliance, and while he often expressed those feelings in the most aggravating way possible, she wasn't unsympathetic. Han was as reticent about his past as it was possible to be and still communicate with other beings, but it was obvious that he had had a hard scrabble to survive at times, and was fairly bristling with trust issues. Leia had grown up with the Rebel Alliance, and bent most of her life and will toward it, but she wasn't so narrow that she couldn't see Han's perspective. She just felt compelled to argue with it a lot. She held up the data pad so he could see the screen. Have you ever heard of Arnot Station?
No.
Han frowned at the readout.
What is it?
It's the location your friend DeVeet sent us for the meeting. Fortunately, it's close enough to reach, even with our damaged hyperdrive.
He's not my friend.
Han considered the limited information on the station.
That's pirate territory.
Leia had been thinking about that. It's odd, though. The shipping in this area is mostly agricultural or mineral, or supplies for subsistence settlements. Not much in the way of luxury goods or shipments of currency. What's attracting the pirates here?
Could be a lot of things,
Han said. Before Leia could make a frustrated comment, or give in to the urge to smack him with the data pad, he added more helpfully,
But this Arnot station looks legit. Lots of small and medium freighter traffic, a couple of bigger local shipping lines, no Imperials. DeVeet's merchants must have picked it. It's probably where they do most of their business.
Good. Leia sat back. Maybe we're due a safe port. Han's expression was highly skeptical.
Yeah. The universe doesn't work like that.
That Leia already knew. I'm going to send a secure transmission directly to General Madine to report our situation. I'd like to ask Chewbacca to meet us at this station so we can use the Falcon as our escort ship on the way back to the fleet. Han eyed her suspiciously.
Why the Falcon?
It's the only ship we might have immediate access to that has the armament to act as an escort. And I don't want to take a chance on anyone else finding out where we are and repeating it to the wrong person. Leia had already drawn her own conclusion. She wanted to see if Han agreed. Someone told the Imperials where we were coming out of hyperspace. Presumably it wasn't DeVeet, since he already knew our final destination, and if he was setting a trap for us, he could have done it at the meeting.
I was wondering if you'd noticed that.
Han absently tapped the sensor against his palm. Yes, sometimes a lifetime of training in concealing things from the Empire does actually come in handy. She pushed to her feet with a groan. Now that the effects of adrenaline had had a chance to fade, she was starting to feel every bruise and strain. I hope Chewbacca can get here quickly. I need backup I can trust. She looked down in time to catch an expression flit across Han's face. It was self-conscious and oddly vulnerable, and hard to define. Then, she realized he had been a little taken aback by her casual remark about trust. He caught her looking at him and retreated down into the access hatch, muttering,
Yeah, well, just remember, Chewie and I don't come cheap.
I know you don't come cheap. Do you have any idea how much a brand new isolator costs? For setting up the meeting with DeVeet and coming along on the trip, Leia had arranged payment for Han in the form of a Ventreedy Apex isolator. The Apex isolators were sensor jammers, newly upgraded models, and a shipping contractor who had family members in the Alliance had managed to send them an entire cargo hold full. Chewbacca was now back on the Independence, installing the isolator in the Millennium Falcon. The devices were meant for Alliance transports, but the Falcon went on enough missions to justify receiving one. Leia would never forget the downright misty look Han had gotten when the packing cases had been unloaded from the Sulliston supply transport.
I'll run a tab for you,
Han said to her retreating back. Leia went back to her command terminal in the compartment near the crew cabins to record her coded message to Madine.
Then she called Auxiliary Control to send Island the coordinates for Arnott Station, and to tell him to make the next jump as soon as the gamble was able. Leia hit the comm for engineering to warn Sorrel that the ship would be making another hyperspace jump soon. "This is Leia Organa." She heard arguing voices. Someone said,
"Sorrel, Captain Solo says we should take the dampers offline. That's going to reduce the safety factor."
Han's voice cut through the others.
"You're worried about the safety factor? What's the safety factor for being blown to hell by an Imperial light corvette? How does that figure in?"
Sorrel answered,
"Kiffar, yes, it's a problem, but Solo's right. I don't see how we can keep the drive online without cutting the dampers."
"Taking the dampers offline is too dangerous,"
Kiffar objected.
"We can get the extra boost from..."
Han interrupted.
"That's not going to..."
Leia rubbed her aching forehead and said, "Engineer Sorrel, do I need to come down there?" All the voices went silent. Leia had meant the question seriously, honestly wanting to know if they needed her down there to arbitrate. But with the last shreds of her patience giving way, perhaps her voice had been a little clipped, or she might have spoken a little too loudly. It wouldn't be the first time. Whatever, it was getting results. Sorrel cleared his throat and said,
"No, ma'am, Your Highness."
"I've ordered Island to make the jump to Arnott Station once the ship comes out of hyperspace," Leia told him. "Do you concur with Captain Solo that it's necessary to take the dampers offline to reach our destination?"
"Yes, Your Highness."
"Then do it." Leia cut the connection. Just to check, she pulled up some of the readings from the auxiliary control and engineering consoles. All she could see was a summary of the vital systems activity, but it was enough to make her bite her lip in consternation. Han hadn't been exaggerating. With so many systems operating in the red, she wasn't sure how the ship had managed to jump to hyperspace, how it was staying in that state without exploding, and why anyone seemed confident that it could actually make a second jump. Maybe they would need the Falcon not as an escort, but to evacuate the gamble's crew. When Han knocked on the open hatchway and stepped into the compartment, Leia handed him the data card. "Here's the message from Aideen. Would you send it for me from Auxiliary Control?"
"Right."
Han took the data card and handed her a packet of meds.
"Sarit wants you to take this. It's for your concussion."
Leia frowned at him. He didn't think I needed anything before.
"Yeah, well, you were on the all-ship comm when you broke up that fight in engineering, and Sarit reconsidered."
Leia grimaced. She hadn't realized she had hit the all-ship comm. She couldn't afford mistakes at the moment, especially foolish mistakes like that. She tore open the packet and dry-swallowed the two capsules.
"And you need to get some sleep if it's going to do any good,"
Han added. "Is that your opinion, or Sarit's?" Leia snapped, knowing she was being unfair. She wasn't pleased with the idea that someone had apparently decided that an intervention was needed, and that Han was the best one to approach the monster in its lair.
"The whole crew took a vote."
Han tossed and caught the data card.
"I'll get this sent as soon as we come out of hyperspace."
"Thank the crew for me," Leia said, trying to be cool but knowing she just sounded grumpy. "And Han, don't mention to anyone else that Arnott Station is where we're meeting Devite. Not yet. Just that it's the nearest port we can reach." Han frowned.
"All right. Got a reason for that, or just paranoia?"
"Paranoia," Leia admitted. She couldn't shake the feeling that the less said about the meeting with Devite, the better. And restricting as much information as possible might help her isolate the intel leak once they got back to the fleet. Han said,
"Welcome to the club, Your Worship,"
and sauntered away. Leia wanted to call a cutting remark after him, but her head hurt too much at the moment to let her think of a good one. She was even too disgruntled to watch the movement of Han's hips as he walked away down the corridor. Not that she should be watching that at all, she reminded herself. She took a deep breath, composed her thoughts, and then, deliberately using the all-ship comm this time, gave the crew the update on the hyperdrive's status and their intention to head for Arnott Station.
Solo.
What?
Han was sitting on his heels on the floor of the main engineering bay, checking the sensor diagnostics for the alluvial dampers. He glanced up to see Kifar Itran looming over him. Han swore wearily under his breath and pushed to his feet. Itran was a big man with a strong build, so much so that he might have had ancestors from a world with higher than normal gravity. His facial features and heavy brow were equally strong, and his skin had a faint orange tint to it, echoed in streaks in his short shock of brown hair.
"Was this your idea?"
he asked belligerently. That kind of attitude was about all Han needed right now. He was tired, and he had gotten lightly singed when the energy pulse had lit up the laser cannon controls. He also didn't like being cornered against the panel behind him. He took a step forward, making Itran fall back. Han stepped past him and leaned his hip against the workbench.
"You want to argue about the dampers again? It's working."
"Not about that. I know you went up to talk to Her Highness."
Han eyed him suspiciously for a moment, then said,
"So?
Was it your idea to go on to this station? We should be staying put, calling for help from the fleet."
Han gestured pointedly around at the panels, some of which were still smoking.
"Nice that you think we should stay put and give the Imperials a chance to find us, but the rest of us want to live."
Itran persisted.
"Was it your idea? The princess doesn't need me to get ideas. She knows what she's doing."
Han had run into this kind of trouble off and on. He knew he had never matched the Alliance's profile of a new recruit, and that to them, he looked an awful lot like somebody who would sell them all to the Empire for a quick credit. Telling them that it was just another job to him didn't help. Telling himself it was just another job didn't help either.
"From what I've heard, this whole mission was your idea."
"You heard wrong."
Han wasn't going to clarify that. He didn't want to be in this conversation, and he sure as hell wasn't going to go into detail about what was said and decided in Alliance meetings to which Itran had clearly not been invited. He made his expression deliberately bored.
"Either say what you want to say, or go find something else to do." "I just think it's suspicious. You're involved in this mission, and we get hit by Imperials. I've heard you've got a lot of influence with the Princess. Maybe you're using it for your own purposes."
"Such as getting myself blown up or captured by Imperials?"
Han wondered. Itran was angry, and looked like he wanted somebody to blame for it.
"You think I'm the one giving orders on this ship?"
Han responded.
"Why don't you go ask her about that?"
He hoped Itran would be just that dumb. He wasn't sure how many of the rebels who worked with Leia knew the calm facade concealed an impressive temper, but Han enjoyed watching it in action. It was on his list of things he found the most attractive about Leia Organa. Itran's eyes narrowed, but before he could respond, Sorel emerged from behind the tall set of sensor connections a few meters away and said,
"Kifar, you're off duty. Why don't you go get some rest?"
Itran hesitated self-consciously. He'd obviously had no idea that the engineering chief had been within earshot. He said,
"Sure,"
and turned to go. As Itran vanished into the back of the bay, Sorel joined Han.
"What was that about? Is he that mad about the dampers?"
"No. Something else."
Sorel sighed. "He's new. He's been working on the supply transports, mostly in the Outer Rim. I don't know that he's ever been in a firefight. The first time is never easy." The engineer was right about that, at least, Han reflected. And maybe that was all it was. Leia had no problem staying awake for the next hour or so. While the gamble came out of hyperspace, the transmission was sent to Maydeen on the Alliance fleet, and the nail-biting worry began as the ship rumbled, hesitated, then finally made the next jump that would hopefully leave them within easy sublight distance to Arnot Station. Only when they were back in hyperspace did she drift off.
"Princess."
Leia bolted upright, to see Sarit standing in the hatchway. She had been having a nightmare in which she was on the terrace of the Summer Palace on Alderaan, talking to Lieutenant Ezrae, when the whole scene dissolved in an energy blast that Leia was somehow unaffected by. The dream had ended in a vivid image of her looking down to find Ezrae's blood on her hands. Reality gradually reasserted itself, and she realized she had slumped over in the chair, her cheek feeling tight and scratchy where it had pressed against the old, cracked, simulated leather of the headrest.
"I'm sorry to disturb you,"
Sarit said,
"but General Willard is awake and asking for you."
"Yes, thank you." Leia checked the time on the console. They should be coming up on Arnot Station soon. The ship hadn't exploded, and her headache, while still present, no longer felt as though some giant riding animal was stomping on her brain. She pushed to her feet, yawned so hard her jaw cracked, and tried to push her raveled braids back into order. After a moment, she gave up. There was no one on the ship who was going to be scandalized by the fact that Princess Leia's hair looked like a small creature had been living in it. Leia went to the next cabin and found Sarit checking over General Willard with a diagnostics scanner. The general was sitting up on the bunk, propped against pillows. His forehead and temple showed the ugly purple of bruises, and he looked as if he had aged a decade. But he focused on Leia as she stepped into the cabin and said,
"Good to see you, Princess."
His voice sounded raspy and weak.
"I'm glad you're awake," Leia smiled.
She was sure he needed more sleep, but it was a relief to see him coherent and well enough to sit up.
"He isn't to get up or agitate himself until I can get him to a medical facility with a full scanner set up,"
Sarit told her.
"I won't let him get agitated," Leia promised.
Sarit sounded a little shaky himself, and she wondered if he had had a chance to sit down since the attack.
"But I do need to talk to him in private. Why don't you take a break and get some rest before we reach the station?"
The medic blinked, as if the idea had never occurred to him.
"Oh, well, yes, I suppose I could."
Sarit wandered out into the corridor, and Leia pushed the release to close the hatch behind him. She sat down on the stool next to the general's bunk.
"How do you really feel?"
"Terrible,"
he admitted.
"Denlin and Ezrae?"
Leia squeezed his hand.
"I'm sorry."
Willard took a deep, shuddering breath, then winced and half-lifted a hand to his head.
"Blast it. I was afraid of that, when Sarit wouldn't tell me how they were."
He looked up at Leia.
"What's our situation?"
"It's not terrible, but it's not good either," she said, and gave him a quick rundown on the condition of the crew and the ship, and of what they were doing to remedy it.
She told him about her decision to head on to the station once they finished the emergency jump, and to send the message to Madine to ask for the Millennium Falcon. "Sorrel thinks we have at least 3 to 4 standard days of repairs ahead of us, so I knew we needed a backup ship in case we have to leave the station in a hurry." Then she leaned forward.
"Vanden, someone knew where the gamble would be, when we would be at our most vulnerable while receiving that holonet transmission. That light corvette knew exactly when to come out of hyperspace to hit us."
Willard frowned, absorbing her words.
"It's more likely it's someone in our communications, isn't it? If DeVeet wanted to betray us, he could have done it at the meeting."
"That was my thought," Leia said. "Whoever betrayed us had to do so almost at the last minute, as if they didn't find out what the coordinates were until right after we did. Otherwise, the Empire would have sent more than one ship. I think the corvette was sent after us because it was the closest available ship, the only one that could get there in time."
She grimaced. "I know I don't have much to go on, except the timing. And her instincts." Leia didn't need the reassurance, but it was still gratifying when Willard said,
"Yes, the intel more likely came from the fleet."
He tried to sit up straighter and sank back with a groan.
"We're going to have to figure out how to isolate this leak, find out who it is."
"That will have to come later. At the moment, we've done all we can."
If a traitor had managed to infiltrate the Alliance's chain of communication to and from the fleet, there was no telling what damage had already been done. But Leia didn't see anything she could do about it, at least at the moment. For now, she had to concentrate on making certain the gamble didn't come to harm, or become yet another Alliance ship that vanished into space, its fate unknown. She glanced at the time again.
I should go and let you get some more rest. We'll be at the station soon.
She started to stand, but the General caught her hand. His expression weary and rueful, he said,
I'm sorry I can't be more help.
You have been helpful, Leia told him and meant it. When your decisions affected people's lives, it was important to have the advice of someone who didn't always think you were right, just because of who you were. Or who your father was. Luke Skywalker was deep into the engine compartment of his favorite X-Wing when he felt a large hand grip his ankle.
It's a good thing I know who that is, he thought, resigned.
Chewie, I've got both hands in the proton torpedo launcher, he protested.
R2-D2, down on the deck beside the X-Wing's cradle, beeped in annoyance at being interrupted. The little droid was connected by various cables to the astromech socket and had been running diagnostics. Chewbacca rumbled a long comment. C-3PO, whom the Wookiee must have brought along to translate for him, said,
Master Luke, he says that it's important and you should get your little... you should get down here right now.
The golden droid added, presumably to Chewie,
That was rude, you know.
With a sigh, Luke slid out of the engine hatch and dropped to the deck. Pulling his protective goggles off, he asked,
What is it? I thought you were trying to get that isolator installed.
Turning around, he saw who was standing there and stopped short.
Oh, General Madine.
Madine didn't answer immediately, his cool glance taking in snub fighter cradles and tech stations nearby, as if checking to see how many were occupied. The fighter repair bay for the Independence was normally crowded with pilots, techs, droids, and other support personnel, repairing damaged fighters, keeping up their maintenance schedules, or practicing in the simulators kept at the far end of the bay. But it was near the shift change, and a few voices echoed around the big space. Wedge and the other members of Red Squadron were off on a mission. Luke should have been with them, but his X-Wing's targeting computer had started to throw error codes at the last minute, and his part in the mission had been scrubbed for now. Keeping his voice low, Madine asked,
Can you be ready to leave with Chewbacca immediately?
Yes, sir.
Luke glanced at Chewie. Wookiees didn't show concern the same way humans did, but his posture conveyed tension and impatience.
Do you want me to put together a squad?
No. Just you,
Madine said.
Come aboard the Falcon where we can speak privately, and I'll give you the coordinates and explain.
Luke didn't miss the significance of aboard the Falcon where we can speak privately. If Madine was worried about being overheard on one of the flight decks of the Independence,
this can't be good.
As the Gamble exited hyperspace, there was a clunk that left Leia's hands white-knuckled on the arms of the comm chair and auxiliary control. Han was piloting, with Eilen as backup, and both men hurriedly worked over the consoles, shutting down the hyperdrive. Something deep inside the ship made the deck vibrate. An alarm started to shriek, and Han absently slapped a control to shut it down. Leia could see various readouts creeping up into the red again. Then, the vibration sputtered to a halt, and the stars streaked back into reality.
The hyperdrive is offline, Eilen said with relief.
Nice job,
Han commented absently, and Leia saw the back of Eilen's neck flush with self-consciousness. Han tended to be sparing with compliments to other pilots.
Do we still have sublights? Leia asked.
She looked at the sensor screen just as a recognition code for Arnott's station popped up. She allowed herself a silent, relieved breath.
They had made it.
The station was only a short distance away, within easy reach of a distress call if the gamble failed now.
We have one engine. It's holding stable, Island said.
So far,
Han said, confirming Leia's long-held belief that he was the most pessimistic person she had ever met.
Island asked, Should I take us in, Your Highness?
Yes. Let's get into dock as quickly as possible. A check of the sensors confirmed that the station was on the outskirts of a system that included several inhabited planets, all of them listing small agricultural settlements. There was no sign of Imperial presence. As they drew closer to the station, the bright blob on the sensor screen resolved into an image of a large torus with a docking ring all along its center. It was clearly ancient and battered, with hatches marred by old burns from docking accidents, and hull plates that were pitted and blast-scarred.
And then, the sensor alarms went off.
Chapter 3 Han said,
What now?
Leia gripped the arms of her seat.
Not again.
Imperials? The comm came to life with a gabble of conflicting transmissions. Han shook his head.
Somebody else is having a lousy day, too.
Leia frowned at the screen, not understanding, as Island hit the ship's alert to warn engineering and gunnery. Then the sensor screen resolved into a blurry image. Between the gamble and the space station, two ships were locked in combat. At first, all Leia could make out was that one seemed to have the advantage over the other, and that neither was broadcasting an Imperial ID. The current winner was larger than the gamble, sleek and well-armed, but the sensors couldn't get a clear image of it. Island said, The one under attack is a freighter.
Yeah, a real freighter, unlike us,
Han said, hands moving over the controls to coax more data out of the sensors.
No extra weapons.
Leia tensed as a distress call sounded from the comm. At least one other frequency was open, and it was broadcasting shouts of alarm, sobbing, frantic commands, and the rumble of blast impacts. Han said,
The ID is for some agricultural mercantile from what sounds like a local system. The attacking ship? Yeah, that's a faked ID.
He looked up at the screen.
We're looking at a pirate.
Island threw a worried glance back at Leia. We can't help the freighter, can we? Leia set her jaw. The comm transmissions were making more sense now, as the system sorted them and upped the gain on the urgent ones. One was a desperate plea to the station, the voice tripping and slurring through the words in basic. There were 23 beings on board, the speaker was saying, all civilian traders. The comm controller on the station returned a reassuring litany that help was coming soon. Leia could see on the screen that the station was too far away for its defensive weapons to drive off the pirates. It didn't look to her as if a rescue ship would even arrive in time. And the gamble was just too damaged to help. We can't afford to intervene, Leia said, hardening her voice, trying to keep the emotion out of it. She saw Island's shoulders slump in resignation.
We've got compromised deflector shields. The hyperdrive is out and the sublights are hanging on by pure luck,
Han elaborated.
We've got no choice here.
I know, Leia muttered. But it didn't matter how good their excuse was. They were still leaving the crew of the merchant ship to die or be taken prisoner. The sensor view wheeled and compensated as Han changed course. Readouts redlined and beeped in alarm as the gamble's strained systems protested. He took the ship above the battle, out of range of the other ship's guns, then jerked his chin at Island.
Hail the station. Tell them we're coming in with sublight damage and we can't assist the freighter,
he added.
At least now we won't need a fancy cover story to explain how we got shot up.
Leia agreed. As Island contacted the station, she watched the sensor view. She couldn't take her eyes off it, much as she wanted to. The merchant ship still fought back, firing a quad laser at the pirates.
But as Han had pointed out, it didn't have the Gamble's augmented systems, and its weapons were woefully inadequate. She told herself they were lucky the pirates had trapped the freighter and not the Gamble on station approach. But she didn't feel lucky.
I'm so tired of watching and not being able to do anything to...
Then the sensors beeped to signal a fix on the pirate ship, and a clear schematic of it popped up on the screen.
What?
Leia sat up straight as a bolt of cold shock went through her. That's an Alderaanian gunship! Han stared at the screen, brow furrowed.
What, the pirate?
Yes!
Leia snapped, cold shock turning to hot fury. She tore at the buckles of her straps, fuming.
I know where all the gunships are!
After Alderaan's destruction, the surviving gunships had all managed to contact the Alliance, some of them badly damaged, their crews injured.
Display the ID!
Han put the string of ID information up on the screen.
It's a fake, Your Worship,
he said pointedly.
The planet of origin...
That doesn't matter. The ship is Alderaanian. The name...
The name was the Aegis. She knew that ship, or at least knew of it. She didn't think she had met the officers or crew personally. All the other information in the ID string was false, but whoever had altered it hadn't bothered to change the name.
I know that ship. It was on the system.